Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse DePlantis here. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. Last week, Kathy preached a sermon called End Time Instructions from Jesus. I like that. Part one. This is part two. Are you prepared for Jesus' great return? Well, we've got a job to do until he does. And what is that job? He says, endure to the end. I take that endearment and make it an enjoyment because of the joy of the Lord that's in my life. So let's go into end time instructions from Jesus, not other people's opinions. Jesus, this is part two. Get your pencil and paper, take some notes down, because we're seeing this stuff come to pass right in front of our eyes. So watch this and be blessed and receive now.
This is the time when the gift of peace needs to be unwrapped and allowed to be unleashed in your life. He's already given it to you, so let it flow. Let it come out. Sometimes it's going to come out by you just not, when you don't know what to do, you're going to hit it in tongues. You're going to pray in the Holy Spirit, and he's going to build up your most holy faith when you pray in the Holy Ghost. We have God's word on that, amen? Yes. Philippians chapter 4 tells us not to worry about anything, but pray about everything. And this is how we have peace that will exceed anything we can understand. And his peace will guard our hearts and our minds as we live for him and with him. Amen. So the second end time instruction from Jesus is, don't be troubled. Let's say it together. Don't be troubled. What was the first one? Don't be deceived. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 24. I don't think we're going to come back to John, so you don't have to hold on to that. Let's continue reading Matthew 24. We're going to read 13 through 31, quite a bit of scripture, but we're going to touch on a few of these things and see our third bit of instruction in this section. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. What a great promise. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. But ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, even from one end of heaven to another. The third end time instruction from Jesus is endure to the end. You have an assignment to endure to the end, no matter what's happening. God can give you the strength and the capacity to live overcoming lives, no matter what season of life you're in, no matter what's going on in the world. Amen? The word endure in verse 13 means to hold one's ground in a conflict, to bear up against adversity, to hold out under stress, to stand firm, persevere under pressure, wait calmly and courageously. I'm reading this really fast. You can find it in a definition if you look it up yourself. But that's what endurance is all about. It's not a passive resignation to fate or just patient. I'm just going to wait it out. No, it's the active, energetic resistance to defeat that allows calm and brave endurance. So when you're just actively standing against it, knowing what God's word says, you're going to rise up victorious. You're going to be able to endure until the end. Whatever your end may be, I'm believing my end is going to be at the rapture of the church. Amen. Amen. I believe that's coming soon. Like my husband often says, if he don't come get me, I'm going to get him. Regardless, we're going to go. Amen. Amen. Verse 14 tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This could only refer to the original gospel, which includes preaching, teaching, and healing. Everywhere that Jesus went, he did that. He did those three things. He preached the word, he taught the people, and he healed the people. And it began with Christ and continued on through the early church, and it's in this church as well. Amen? Amen? So it is at this point that the church, when Jesus is talking this, I believe is where the church is caught up in the air to be with Jesus. So this prophecy of Jesus in verse 15 describes a turning point when the Antichrist will actually break his 7-year covenant of peace with Israel. See, the Antichrist cannot be manifested while the church is here, because we have authority over all the power of the devil. We are the restraining force. But the moment this restraining force is caught up in the rapture, you know, rapture is not in the Bible, we all know that, but the phrase caught up to be with him, we've talked about that so often. It's what happens. When that happens, then basically, like they say, all hell break loose. I mean, you know, you think the world is bad now, just think how it'll be when all the believers are gone. We're the restraining force. We're the ones who show up for work. We're the ones who pay our bills. We're the ones who stand in the gap for our families. And when the church is taken out, the devil's going to go on a rampage, and it's not going to be the place you want to be. The 7-year covenant of peace. You know, in the beginning, when the church is going out, that's when the Antichrist makes that pact with Israel, brings peace, supposedly peace, so they can begin the sacrifice again. I think I'm getting this right. And so they have this. For a season, they can do that, but something happens in the middle of that. And that's what Jesus was referring to in portion of this scripture. This Antichrist will take over Jerusalem as his capital and the Jewish temple as his building, his capital building. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The abomination of desolation that Jesus was referring to and that we just read, is just what we're going to look about at right now. The abomination of desolation refers to the Antichrist and his image in the Jewish temple at Jerusalem during the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period, which was spoken of by the prophet Daniel. We don't have time to go crisscross and go through all of these things today, but I just want you to see the highlights of the timeline of what's actually happened. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4. Because, you know, this, I don't know if you realize it, but the book of Thessalonians was the first New Testament books that were written. And it was written because there was a lot of confusion about the second coming of Christ and whether the rapture had already occurred. And so Paul wrote this to give clarity to them. He says in verse 1, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. They're talking about the Antichrist there. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's that abomination of desolation. And at that point, there's some, I'm not going to go into everything that happens during the tribulation because I'm not going to be here. And I don't have time to get into all that today. But I just wanted to give you these things because Paul wrote this epistle to calm believers and assure them that the rapture of the church by Jesus Christ had not come yet. And he let them know that there would be a great falling away and that the revealing of the Antichrist had to come first and that the rapture must take place before these two events. Amen?
Amen.
Do y'all understand what I've been saying?
Amen.
This is coming to the earth today, and a lot of people are oblivious to it. We as a church can read the Word of God and see that this is coming to pass, and we can stand with the Word. Amen? Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 24 and continue through the end of the chapter. We'll read our text today. We're going to read verse 32 all the way to the end of the chapter in 44. It says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. We're seeing a lot right now that let us know that it is near, even at the doors. Amen. 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and an hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming, also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore you also be ready. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The fourth end time instruction from Jesus, and our last one for today is Jesus, from Jesus is watch and be ready. So these are simple, a lot of complex things that are going to be happening, but our assignment basically is don't be deceived, right? Don't be troubled. Be sure to endure, don't give up. And watch and be ready. See, no one knows the hour that the Lord will come, but this 24th chapter of Matthew reveals that we can know the season.
Amen.
Right? One of the greatest indicators of the return of the Lord is the restoration of Israel as a nation on May 14th, 1948. And when Jesus said this generation in verse 34, I believe that he was referring to the generation that is living and see all these things coming to pass when that moment occurred. I believe that's what we're talking about right here. So there are people that were born at that in 1948. My husband was born in 1949. But there are people on the earth right now that was, so that's still a generation. So we're really close, I believe, to the end. And I think it's so important that we understand this as a church. Jesus' first coming was as Messiah and Savior of the world. And that was when he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of a donkey, which is an animal that represented peace. Jesus' second coming will be as king and judge to the earth. Revelation 19 tells us that he'll ride in on a white horse, an animal representing war, and establish his kingdom on the earth in Jerusalem. Jesus identifies no such special sign to mark his second coming except that it'll be after the tribulation of those days. So this is what's going to happen. The return will be visible to the whole earth, for he will come with great power and great glory. And this is what's happening. See, because he's going to be coming back to the earth like we began with, putting his foot on the Mount of Olives. When he comes back on that white horse with the saints who have already been raptured 7 years before, who were in heaven during with the marriage supper of the Lamb, during that great tribulation that was going on that would come upon the earth that Jesus talked about. So we have this firm, we call it the blessed hope.
Amen.
That we, and it's not a, escapism theology. This is what happened when he gave the example of Noah. God took the righteous out. He's going to take the righteous out again at the rapture of the church. And add that, let's give the Lord a praise for that. That's such a great promise. As believers in Jesus, we should be watching with excitement and waiting for his return. Watch means to be wide-eyed, scanning, prowling the horizon, looking for him, looking diligently as you live your life and live for him. Amen? Amen. Be alert, be watchful. Endure, don't ever give up. God, the enemy does send a distraction, he sends attacks, but you have the all the power of God in your own heart, in you, within you, to speak life and to change a situation. You can be bold and strong, amen? Amen? Glory to God. But God has given us a promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. And I believe that as believers, we can know and understand what Jesus was telling us about end times. We can, I like knowing all the details, the when and the what and the how. But, and that's good if you know that, but there are people who are theologians that know all the details. They know a whole lot more than me, but they're dead inside. It's important that we have our hearts right with God and that we're not deceived thinking that I can do it on my own strength. We can't ever be good enough to make heaven. We all need a Savior. Every single person needs a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. He came so that the whole world could be born again. It's his will. He says it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come, should be born again and come to eternal life. So that's our assignment as believers, to spread the good news about Jesus, that he loves them and he's come to be a Savior to whosoever will believe in him. They don't have to perish. They can have eternal life. Even though we're going to walk out and see some things that have it, we already know there's a lot of people that are closed-minded. They've rejected the gospel. Their conscience have been seared with a hot iron, and they've totally sold out to the devil and his plan. They're totally deceived. But God is also raising up a remnant of people that are not deceived, that know the word of God, that believe God, that will proclaim his goodness and be a light in this dark place. Amen? Bible says that the whole land, there's going to be a gross darkness, but he says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Hallelujah. I believe that God's light is coming upon the church to rise up and take their position in him. Amen. We've come through a dark place in the church where so many people have given up and they've walked away just because the government said don't meet. But Jesus said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the custom of some is. That's why the devil tried to shut down the church, because he had a plan to take away everything, right? God wants us to wake up and realize the tactics of the devil is to shut us up and shut us down, but he wants to lift us up and bring us to a high place in him. We're stronger than we know. We're bolder than we know. We're courageous in Jesus. Amen? There's nothing that we can't do through him. God is raising up a church without spot or wrinkle, that will bring glory to him. He says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're set apart for God for this such a time as this. Such a time as this. I want to be standing with the righteous in heaven on that day when we're all in the throne. I don't want to be in the back or not even around. I want to be there. Just think about then the days of Esther when Mordecai had to tell her, God is going to bring up a deliverance. God will bring salvation to his people. So he said, what you need to know, what are you going to do about it? He says, you were born for such a time as this. So many of us need to get a grip and realize we were born for such a time as this, to be bold for God. He has imparted himself within us with new supernatural strength. And we need to learn to tap into that, amen? And be bold for God in the earth today. Glory to God. God has a plan for us all. He wants us to know that we're not going to be deceived, amen? So let's just do a quick review and read the four things. They'll put them up on the screen for me, I hope, if they can. First end time instruction is? Do not be deceived. Let's say that together. Do not be deceived. God is going to bring people across our path that have been deceived. We can rebuke the devil from blinding their eyes to the truth. Even though they've been deceived, if they're in our family, we can say, Satan, I rebuke you from blinding my family's eyes to the truth of the gospel. Lord, I thank you that you're sending laborers across their path to bring the good news to them. Lord, I thank you they're going to be standing side by side with me serving you and worshiping you. Amen? Amen. We have a promise from God. We don't have to be deceived. And none of our family members can stay that way if we stand in faith for them and pull down those strongholds, cast down those imaginations, and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Yes, your family can be saved. Yes, your loved ones can be saved. Yes, your life can have a total life turnaround. If you've been deceived, God can change your heart this morning. Amen?
Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is working overtime to deceive and cause trouble. What did Jesus tell us to do? He said, hold your ground, man. All you have to do is endure. And in that endurement, you can have an enjoyment with God. You see, because let me tell you something. When you endure with the Lord, it's not passive. It's active. It's energetic. It's resistance to defeat. Jesus gave us clear instructions. Well, Kathy's teaching good there. Don't be deceived, number one. Don't be troubled, number two. Endure and don't give up, and that's number three. And number four, watch and be ready. But how do you do that? My Lord, look up. He's coming, glory to God. There's a great question that was sent to me by a lady named Jeanette. She said, Jesse, I know the time is short and that the Lord is coming back to get us. How do I stay out of fear when I think of all those who will be left behind? Jeanette, I'm going to just be blunt. That's none of your business. That's between God and those people, and not you or not me. You know, I wish they'd all get saved. My God, don't everybody. I mean, why not? But you know what? God will not break people's will. So I'm going to say that again. You shouldn't get into fear over that. No, because that has nothing to do with you. That has everything to do with them and their relationship to God. I know that's kind of a strong answer, but that's just simply the truth. And I mean that sincerely. I wish they'd all get saved. God is my witness. I don't know why. But then I get to thinking about myself. I didn't get saved till I was almost 25 years old, 24 and a half, I think. And why didn't I do it earlier? Because I was stubborn, blinded by the devil and everything you could think of. But you know what? I had deceived myself. You know, and but the end of my deception came to pass. It went away, and Jesus opened up my eyes, and I got born again. Isn't that a blessing? If you don't like the way you was born, try it again. It's better the second time around. I'm telling you, it is a blessing. Now, stay right there. I'll be back in just a moment to speak another word to you. I want to show you some things that are going on here, and I believe you will enjoy, and I'll be right back to say something to you. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no, there's not. In my book, Give God a Job, you will discover that our magnificent God is ready and able to fulfill every promise that He has for you. It's time to ask in faith and start living on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, if you keep God busy, He will keep you busy. Order your copy of my book, Give God a Job, today at jdm.org. You know, I'm so excited about our September product offer. It's my new book entitled Give God a Job. The title of this book is also our theme for this year, and it's based on Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. It's the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing's too hard for God. And He wants you to believe Him for the impossible. So all you got to do is give Him a job. Just let go of what you think is too hard or too much and let Him have it. God wants you to give Him a job. Get your copy today. It will help you. All you got to do is go to jdm.org for all the ordering information and you'll be blessed. Pardon us, I can't thank you enough for all that you do for this ministry. I'm amazed at how faithful you have been in 48 years of preaching this gospel, never having a financial deficit, never sweating or worrying about money, don't know what we're going to do. It takes millions and millions of dollars to run this ministry. You know, television is very expensive. I wish it was all free, but it's not. And that's okay because, you know, people have to make a living, and I understand that perfectly. But you know what, partners? Me and you together, there's no failure in it at all. Your faithful financial support to me is not money. It's obedience. Obedience to what God tells us to do, to go in the world and preach this gospel to every creature. So if you're not a partner today, pray about becoming one. This ministry is a clean ministry, and I'm telling you, it is. Hallelujah. We wash by the glory of God, the washing of the water of the Word. It is a blessing. Nothing too small and nothing too big. We've asked the Lord for every dollar given to our ministry. Give us a soul in the kingdom. You send me $100, I'm going to get 100 people born again. That's what I'm believing for. $1,000. But see, we have the ability to do it through social media, broadcast television. It's amazing how we can touch the world sitting right here at this desk. But I need your help, just like you need my help to believe the Word of God. But both of us need God's help. Is that right? Thank you, partner. You're part of my extended family. And I hope me and Kathy say thank you enough. Now, don't miss next week. I have a message entitled Knowledge, the ingredient to think big. You heard me. You can think big, but you got to have some knowledge to do that. So until next week, Jesse Duplantis from New Orleans, Louisiana, saying we love you. We really do. See ya. Bye-bye.
There's a world that needs to be saved. Our mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus to that world. That is why we here at Jesse Duplantis Ministries believe the unbelievable and operate in the impossible. God is continuing to direct us to expand our outreach to more people in more places and through more ways than ever before. We are advancing into the frontiers of ministry to change more lives through one simple question. Do you know Jesus? Listen to me. It is beginning. The light of Jesus is shining higher and brighter and further than ever. People from all over are responding to the message of Jesus. Nothing can stop the light of God's love from reaching people and changing lives.
What do you do when nothing's working out? Our September partner offer will answer that question. The title is, What Do You Do When Everything Goes Wrong? You can overcome the difficult circumstances of life. Anyone can when they got Jesus Christ in them. Learn to praise God in difficult times, and guess what? Victory will become yours. How do I know? Go to jdm.org to get your copy today, and you'll be blessed. The depth of your knowledge depends upon the intensity of your desire. See, if your desire is intense, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire. You can't just say, I hope that's going to work. No, you got to have some intensity. The reason why I married Kathy, because her desire was so intense for me. And she was intense. I want you, man. I said, enjoy yourself.